The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show this day after the City of Tucson election. It's Wednesday, November the 6th, 2019. We'll get into the results of the election in the half hour at 12:30 when we talk with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek. Broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, it is 10:30, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. You can hear any of our programs on my website, buckmastershow.com. We have a very extensive archive. Pretty much every show we have done since we launched the radio project in January back in 2011. So we'll beginning, our 10th year on the radio will begin in January. All the podcasts available for you 24/7, buckmastershow.com. Our live line number 790-2040. We begin today with the mayor of Oro Valley. Joe Winfield is with us. Mayor Winfield was elected back in late August of last year, 2018, when he unseated the incumbent, Mayor Hiermath, who had been in office since 2010. Joe Winfield is a registered landscape architect. He recently retired from quite a long career. Mayor, how long was it with you're with the National Forest Service and then the National Park Service?
35-plus years,
wow.
Bill.
Uh-huh. Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So you and three newcomers were elected to the council when you took over. Tell me how that transition has gone.
Well, we were elected, as you said, in August. We took we were sworn in a year ago this month, and that transition has gone very well. We've seen some important successes in our community this past year, which the council is very proud of, and so it's gone well.
You know, when if you don't follow Oro Valley politics, if you don't live in Oro Valley, you kind of come away with thinking the major issue up there is golf. What is the deal with Oro Valley and golf?
Well, golf has been a part of the town of Oro Valley for a number of decades. What you're referring to specifically is that the town purchased 45 holes of golf 5 years ago. And the purchase resulted in a division within the community. There was a referendum, a recall, and then things died down. The early projections, there was a half-cent sales tax that was passed to support the operation, maintenance, and capital investment for the golf courses. It became apparent fairly quickly that that half-cent sales tax was not going to be able to provide the financial resources that was needed, especially on the capital investment side. So the subsidization for the operation and maintenance was much deeper than it was forecasted.
And the people who ran you and the three newcomers, it was a reaction to what the previous council was doing in this arena with golf?
I think golf was certainly one of the issues. It wasn't the only issue, but golf was certainly something that was still on people's minds, and there was a concern about the continuing high subsidization of the operation and maintenance, and so it certainly was a factor, Bill.
And how is it doing now?
You know, we've seen, back in January, we had a study session. We've had a number of public hearings since then. We've been revisiting the golf topic. The town staff analyzed four options, a 36, 27, 18, and what I call an open space access option or no golf option. We reviewed those as a council. Ultimately, we made a decision on October 2nd to retain 36 holes of golf, and that's our decision, and we're moving forward. When you say, how's that going?
Yeah.
Golf itself, we've seen a gradual improvement year after year, especially in outside play, which is very positive. We hope to build on that. Some of the other outcomes of this discussion, conversation about golf, is that some of the surrounding homeowners associations have agreed to contribute to the operation and maintenance of golf, which will help with the golf operations. There's also going to be some management changes that will help free up some of the tee times to accommodate more public play.
We're speaking with Mayor Joe Winfield from the town of Oro Valley. So in early October, the decision was then to go with the, it was a 6-1 vote of your council to keep open the Conquistador course and the La Cañada at 36 holes. And one of the options was, I think you just said one of the options was no golf at all, and to turn that into what, open space or a park or what?
Right. So okay. Golf courses are open space.
Sure, they are.
And generally a golf course is developed in an area that is undevelopable for other purposes. So one of the options was to repurpose the golf course into open space to be somewhat, you know, determined by our community as to what that would actually look like. We never really got into the details of that repurposing, but that was one of the options.
And of course, if you had closed these courses, that would be a negative. I think people could that live near the golf courses could say that would be a negative impact on housing prices, right? And that's part of the appeal of Oro Valley in many ways, isn't it?
I think it depends.
Okay.
Because open space is something that is valued for a variety of different purposes. Now, as we see development, so back when the Conquistador Cañada golf courses were built, golf courses were much more part of the fabric of selling homes. And today, that isn't necessarily true. What sells homes today is simply open space or passive recreation, having trails in that open space. There's some different examples around town where that has been very successful, both on the east side and the west side of town. So there are options, Bill, that will help to retain property values when you transfer to from a golf course to open space.
And this is an issue here in the city of Tucson that people have worried about. There may be too many golf courses here, and the city brought in an outside group that is running our golf courses here in Tucson. Do you have a similar situation in Oro Valley?
We do. When the golf courses were purchased, they were already under contract, the operation and maintenance. That contract is with Troon. They're a internationally known golf management
company. I think
they're
the group that works here in Tucson.
They are.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's a relatively small handful of golf course operators.
Mm-hmm.
OB, I believe, is who was operating the Tucson golf courses, and they were bought out by Troon. But Troon has been managing our golf courses and doing a great job.
And there is more to Oro Valley, and we'll get to that in a minute, but I'm just curious, what do the studies show? Has the interest, which was waning for several decades in recreational golf, has that pretty much leveled off, Mayor?
You know, the National Golf Foundation study has some of their work that they do. It does appear, I mean, there has been for the past 10 years kind of a downtrend in the golf industry. That seems to have leveled out. And of course, the future is a bit unknown. I think the hope in the golf history, in the golf industry, is that we'll begin to see a gradual increase. And in some sectors of the country, we're seeing that. Arizona happens to be one of those areas where they're within certain age groups where we are seeing an increase in golf play. Typically, that's 55 plus.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Joe Winfield will continue here on the Buckmaster Show after we take our break. But right now, I want to tell our listeners, Mayor, about my favorite bakery in town. Do you like bakery goods, Mayor?
I do, Bill.
All right. My favorite bakery in town is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve and his team really do such a great job. They have that morning breakfast. They open at 6 o'clock in the morning for breakfast, and right now they're open for lunch. But I suppose, in fact, I know you could probably still get breakfast up there at the northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, on the web at monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. More about the town of Oro Valley with the town's mayor as we continue on Buckmaster.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the Wednesday after the election. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll hear from Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, who spoke out early and often about his opposition to Proposition 205, which went down resoundingly, folks saying no in the city of Tucson to that. We'll hear from him on the live line in about 15 minutes, but we're going to continue now our discussion with the mayor, Joe Winfield in Oro Valley, and we spent the first segment of the show talking about golf, which is very important, but there are other issues certainly that people in Oro Valley care about. And what would you put at the top of those other issues, Mayor?
Well, as I mentioned when we were off the show, our chief of police, Danny Sharp, who's been with the town for 20 years, few months ago announced his retirement, which will be coming up February 2020. So we're in the process of recruiting and making a decision about a new chief of police. This will probably be one of the most important decisions we'll make as a council. So that is something that is important to us. We also are in the midst of doing a parks and recreation assessment. This will include a statistically valid survey to really understand what are the priorities and needs of our community when it comes to parks and recreation, and this is something that's close to my heart. One of the things this council did approve was a new playground for Naranja Town Park, which we're excited about. And some of the other issues are related to growth and we're nearing a build-out, and so we're very interested in annexation opportunities. We've directed the staff to develop an annexation blueprint, and what I mean by that is to look to the north, to the west, the south, to the east, of course, is the Catalina Mountains, so there's not much opportunity there. But we're looking at where it would make sense to potentially annex areas to expand the boundaries of our community.
When you say the build-out, you've pretty much then running out of space, right, in the current town limits.
That's true. And, of course, that's always the case with communities. It's a dynamic process. And when Oro Valley was annexed in 1974, it was about 1.5 square miles. Now we're about 30 square miles. And so as the community reaches or nears build out, it looks for opportunities to expand. So this is annexation is always something that we look to and for opportunities.
Before you retired, you spent many years with the Coronado National Forest. You were overseeing the recreation, heritage, special uses, wilderness, and land. So obviously, when you start talking about parks and an open space, that's a big deal to you just because of your DNA, right?
You're absolutely right, Bill. And not just with me, but also our community. I mean, folks are attracted to Oro Valley because of the open space, because of the Catalina Mountains, the Tortolita Mountains, the Sonoran Desert. So it's something that that is shared by many of the folks that live in Oro Valley, this love for the outdoors.
Is your housing affordable to young families?
Well, that's a good question. We certainly have young families in Oro Valley. We have a good range of housing stock.
But you don't want to be thought of as a retirement community.
Or do you? No, I don't... I mean, we have many and individuals who have retired in Oro Valley and contribute significantly to our community in a variety of ways. I think Oro Valley is more complex than that. I think it's you know, we refer to it as a complete community, and we certainly welcome individuals and families of all ages and sizes. And we are demographically our median age is older or higher than
It skews older.
Right, yeah. It does skew older.
Yeah.
So we would certainly like to see younger families, and because of the school system is such a magnet, the public school system, the amphitheater school system is wonderful. We have BASIS, we have the Lehman Academy. And these are just real draws to families.
Economic development? You've got some stars up there in Oro Valley.
Yeah, we certainly do. We have Roche Diagnostics, which is just a real diamond for Oro Valley. We recently broke ground for the University of Arizona Oro Valley Innovation Lab, which we're thrilled about. The Veterinary College recently received accreditation, and they'll be receiving students in 2020. They're already in their facility in Oro Valley in one of our industrial parks, and we're thrilled about that. We recently approved the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy Plan that was developed by our community development director and his team. And so that includes, for example, the annexation. The marketplace was recently purchased by a local developer, which we're also very happy about. So some very positive things are happening economically in Oro Valley.
Do you have space for new companies in Oro Valley?
We do. We don't have as much space as we'd like. I believe we have about 200 acres for primary employment, and so this is one of our interest in an annexation of additional lands, is to provide or to acquire additional primary employer property.
As a mayor of our region, you sit on the Regional Transportation Authority Board. You're the representative from Oro Valley. Tell me about, first of all, has RTA been good for your community?
Oh, it's been incredibly good. We've benefited. Currently under construction is a segment of La Cholla Boulevard from Lambert to Tangerine. This was a two-lane road prior to this construction getting underway. When it's completed, it will be a four-lane with a landscaped median similar to La Cañada and Tangerine. Mentioning Tangerine, that was also an RTA project. About half of that improvement was in Oro Valley, the other half in Marana. But these are important connectors, not only within Oro Valley, but to the broader region, and that help contribute to economic development.
And you mentioned Tangerine, and the town is restarting talks regarding annexation of state land near Tangerine Road. Mayor, what kind of footprint are we talking about here? Is this some really beautiful land?
This is approximately 880 acres of state land. It is undeveloped land, and it is it's a beautiful property. It is favored with saguaros and ironwoods and Palo Verdes, everything you would expect for the Sonoran Desert. It's part of the Tortolita fan, and so we had discussions with State Land Department. They had some turnover in their staff, and so they pulled back, but it's my understanding that we're going to be coming back to the table.
And had they been shopping it to nearby Marana, that land?
Well, and if you look at Marana's boundaries, they're blessed with significant state land within their town limits and probably within their planning area. This particular area, this 880 acres, has been on the Oro Valley's radar screen for a decade or more, and there were some conversations between Mayor Hiermath and Mayor Honey about this particular property, and Mayor Honey was agreeable to the town of Oro Valley pursuing annexation of that with the Arizona State Land Department.
You would like to see this happen, Mayor?
I think that What I would like to see happen, Bill, is that we work collaboratively with the surrounding community, with the State Land Department, with our staff to develop a plan that makes sense economically, environmentally, and contributes to the well-being of our community.
I understand you're an Eagle Scout.
That's true. And I have six sons that are Eagle Scouts.
Six sons that are Eagle Scouts. So are you still active in Boy Scouts?
You know, it has. I was very active for a number of years, as you can imagine, having six
sons and scouting.
My youngest son is 21, so my last scouting venture was to Philmont with him and a group of boys. I occasionally get out to go camping, but I'm not a current registered scout leader.
In this day and age where the younger people are looking constantly down at their devices, is there a place for Boy Scouts in this country?
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably more so than ever. I say scouting was my ticket to the outdoors. I grew up in a single-parent home, and I just have nothing but gratitude for the scouting program and the good that it does for boys.
And you moved to Oro Valley. You've been a resident there now since 1996?
That's correct.
And the appeal was the open spaces for you?
Well, at the time, we had six children. Our seventh was born not too long after we moved to Oro Valley. So schools was really the magnet for us that drew us to the town. In addition to that, it certainly was the outdoor environment, the close-to-home recreation. What I mean by that is, you know, simply walking out your door and being able to access the Sonoran Desert. And those are the things that appealed to us.
Mayor of Oro Valley, Joe Winfield, I have enjoyed our conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. I've enjoyed it as well.
Thanks a lot. The mayor of Oro Valley, taking kind of a deep dive here on the Buckmaster Show on what's going on in that beautiful community here in the Tucson Valley. We've got Steve Kasachek coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about the election results. That will be coming up after we do the CBS Network News. We'll do a minute of that. We'll hear from the great partners of the Buckmaster Show and then Steve Kay on the live line. Be right back.
CBS News Update. The impeachment inquiry enters a new phase next week. Witnesses who've already testified behind closed doors will answer questions in public hearings. House Intelligence Chair Adam Schiff.
Those open hearings will be an opportunity for the American people to evaluate the witnesses for themselves, to make their own determinations about the credibility of the witnesses.
Scheduled next week, Ukraine diplomat Bill Taylor, former ambassador to Ukraine Marie Yovanovitch, and State Department official George Kent. The transcript of Taylor's earlier testimony has just been released. CBS's Bill Rakoff.
Ambassador Bill Taylor testified there were two channels of diplomacy between the U.S. and Ukraine, the official one and the one that ran through President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. And even though Giuliani was influential to the president, Taylor said he worried about Giuliani's discussion of diplomatic policy in some of his public statements. Taylor is expected to testify in public next week.
CBS News Update, I'm Pam Coulter.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort, all on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
One of my favorite pieces of what we call in the business bumper music. Thank you there, Ray Allen. It's Buckmaster, midweek edition. We're on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's most trusted source for news talk. It is The Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, where we are broadcasting from. And speaking of green things, this is our go-to nursery for all things green at the Buckmaster household, because I like to tinker a little bit out in the garden. This time of year, the roses are really coming up. And we got some beautiful blooms thanks to Green Things. They're at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. You know, they have evolved into a destination in itself, not only for your green things, but that 13-acre site houses all that great furniture under the Zocalo banner. Beautiful merchandise, much hand-carved, much of it hand-carved, Mexico, Latin America, Europe. So come out and tour the five shops at Zocalo Village when you're over at Green Things. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Let's go now on the live line. Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek joining us. I've been looking forward to our talk with the councilman, especially this month, because I want to hear his reaction to yesterday's vote. How are you, Councilman?
Doing well. And Green Things also has a pretty fun petting zoo, too.
Yeah, they do. There's a lot of great things going on over there at Green Things. Destination in itself, for sure. Yeah. Okay, let's begin with the marquee issue, Proposition 205. You spoke out early, and you spoke out often against it. Were you surprised that the yes only garnered pretty much less than 30% of the vote?
Yeah, I was a little surprised at the number, but I think that speaks to the credibility of the voters. You know, they did their homework. We are an immigrant welcoming community. I think the vast majority of the people who voted no would not disagree with the spirit of the proposition, and that is, are we going to welcome vulnerable populations of immigrants into this community? And the answer to that is yes. And we have been demonstrating that as the most obvious example is with the Central American migrants that have been coming through this community, over 13,000 of them since January of this year. So this community has completely stepped up and demonstrated that one of the bases of our ethics in this community is that we take care of people in need. Irrespective of status and irrespective of where they're coming from. The problem with 205 was that it was just a bridge too far. When I, along with the city attorney, city manager, and police chief, were sued by the proponents of 205, a part of that process was depositions. And in the process of those depositions, a tape recording that they had secretly taped with when they were meeting with Mike Rankin, the city attorney, back in December or January of last year or early this year, was brought out, and in that, in the transcript, I read the transcript of that, and in the transcript of that recording, the lawyer for the proponents of this thing, who actually helped draft 205, said that some sections of some of the segments of the proposition were overly broad. They went too far. Probably shouldn't have gone that direction. So even the proponents, even the attorney who drafted the thing, said that the thing went too far. So the voters saw that. Your question was, am I surprised by the percentages? Yeah, I thought it would fail, but I thought it would fail by 10 or 15 points, not 40, or whatever the number wound up being. So yeah, the magnitude of it surprised me, but the fact that it went down did not.
How about the makeup of this this new council?
Well, of course, Cunningham's coming back.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah. Actually, the makeup will only involve Nikki Lee, the new makeup, and of course the new mayor. So the
Well, we have two new council members.
There
Nikki
you go.
And Lane Santa Cruz.
Yes, thank you.
And so Nikki is from Ward 4. I've met with her several times, and Nikki's a sharp lady. She works out at Raytheon. She's got a military background. She brings some particular skill sets to the table, largely related to geological work and hydrology. So she'll fit right in terms of our concern and my concern about water security and the ways to make sure that we're a resilient community from that perspective. Lane Santa Cruz used to be one of Rahina's council aides, so she's back in that office. She knows Ward 1, the constituents, well. They obviously know her. They just elected her back into office, and she breezed through the primary, which was a ward-only primary, of course. One of Lane's focuses is on affordable housing, and that's also an initiative that my office has been working on right now with the city manager and our housing and community development folks. So Lane's going to be able to hit the ground running when it comes to that issue. Rahina, of course, is now the mayor, and this was not a coup d'etat, that she was elected. And I really take this as a validation of our work as a governing body, that the voters didn't say, you know, we need to go in a new direction. The voters gave us a thumbs up last year on Prop 101, the roads and public safety. Prop 407, I guess, was last year. 101 was the year before. 407 was the parks. They said yes to a zoo, 1/10 of a cent sales tax, which says to me that we've really, having come out of the recession and put our budget in order, have really garnered some support and some credibility with the constituents in Tucson. And the fact that Rahina was able to move from a council seat over into Jonathan's seat, again, is more validation of that. I don't think there's any particular need to make a hard pivot in any direction right now. I think the council is going in a good direction. She did express a vision, and she has a right to advocate for policies that fit that vision, and the same as any mayoral candidate would have. And I believe that this council will support her in the move that she's going to make. She wants to make, and some of those are going to include things that we're already working on, climate resiliency. You know, the kinds of things that we've already got in play and are moving forward on as it comes to climate change and making sure that the city of Tucson is being proactive in terms of things like solar and renewables. So we're already going in that direction. So this is not a matter of needing to make some fundamental changes in direction. But she's in the chair now, and I think you're going to find that the council is going to rally behind some of the visions that she put forward, and she has a right to put her stamp on the community because she was just elected to lead the community. I'll be supporting her in that, but also realize that she's one vote out of seven, and so we'll be there to, as we have in the past, to kind of modulate each other and make sure that we're putting together good public policy and that not just one person's views. I do think, Bill, that she brings a couple of strengths to the table that maybe Jonathan didn't have. Uh, She will probably be in a position of developing stronger ties with Mexico. Jonathan started out in that direction and maybe didn't follow through on some of the things that she may be able to. Stronger ties with our federal delegation for obvious reasons. I mean, she has, her husband works for Raul Grijalva, and so if there's an opportunity for us to maybe capitalize on that relationship in terms of advocating for federal grant money and kinds of things that we will need when it comes to transportation dollars and, frankly, fixing the water contamination issue that we're fighting right now with 3M and some others on.
All right. Councilman Kasacek, stick around. And speaking of the Madam Mayor-elect, we expect to have Regina Romero as our Friday Focus interview, and already confirmed along with the mayor, Nikki Lee, the councilwoman-elect, will be with us on Friday on the Buckmaster Show. Steve Kasacek sticks around for segment number 4 of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, to the music of Chicago, my hometown, and the song Only the Beginning. And it is really the beginning for the first Latina mayor in the city of Tucson. Someone else was saying, I think on the morning show, that Regina is the first Latina mayor of a major American city. So I'm not sure if that's true or not. It's the Buckmaster Show and the 1030, the voice trusted local news and talk, Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Want to tell our listeners about a beautiful area of the Southwest and the Southwest corner of New Mexico, the land of enchantment, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We've been having really warm days here in Tucson, mid-80s. I mean, yesterday felt really warm to me. But Ray Allen, my fine engineer producer, just brought up the midday temperature over in Silver City, 59 degrees. Nice. Beautiful. Partly cloudy autumn day over in Silver City. It's only a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. You'll find all the opportunities to recreate and great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Steve Kasachek with us on the live line. He joins us for our
month. I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Is Ray going to quit doing that in February when it's 13 over there and it's 60 here?
How did you read our minds? Well, I'm probably getting close to that note.
Okay.
To the point. But then again, you know, you might get the skiers and all of that. So, but that's an interesting point. But we all summer long, Steve, we've been monitoring it, and some days it probably wouldn't surprise you, but there was a 20 and 25 degree difference.
Oh, yeah.
Because of that elevation, of course, 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation. Steve Kasachek with us on the live line. Now, the group that was spearheading 205, I'm already hearing there are a couple of items on their agenda. They would like to. I don't know if this would be an initiative or somehow the council would have to take the action about raising the state's minimum wage. What are you hearing about this? About the city's minimum wage, excuse me.
Well, there's a state law.
Okay.
We're already complying with, and it's 12 by 20, I think, is what the 12 by 2020.
Okay.
So I haven't heard that. I think that this city council is going to be open to that. But we're let me answer that in sort of a sideways manner. One of the concerns that I had with Prop 205 was, first of all, we are doing it right in the city of Tucson already, and as far as immigration is concerned, one of the concerns I had, and I expressed this to them way early on, was. We can tweak some of our policies, but let's not put ourselves on the state legislature's radar screen because we may wind up poking the bear. And while I'm not adverse to a fight with the legislature, sometimes discretion is the better course, and you may wind up losing ground that you've already gained. So I would want to sit down with any of the proponents for any of the initiatives that they have in mind, and talk about the bigger game, and that is do we want to take this on right now in the manner that's being proposed? I'm still concerned that we may not see some fallout from the legislature on 205, even though it failed.
Uh-huh.
From a standpoint of legislation. That preempts us from some of the policies that we already have in place. So I'd want to have a more strategic conversation with them or whoever them is on initiatives they have in mind, and not just shoot from the hip and say, yeah, we'll take the state on no matter what, because sometimes you may wind up losing ground that you've already gained. A more strategic conversation than simply saying yes or no.
All right, let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Chuck would like to ask about the pay raise proposal for the mayor and council, which failed. Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, you took all my wind away, but that's okay. Yeah, Steve, I know you think that the council is, getting the confidence of the public behind them and moving ahead the way they should. But my question to you is, if so, why didn't the people give you a pay raise?
So I don't know. That pay raise has been on the ballot every year for every other year. I mean, since what, 1999 or whenever the last time it was
98, I believe.
98. Okay. So Chuck, I'm not ashamed to say that $24,000 a year for a council member and $42,000 a year for the mayor are silly. They're for the kinds of positions, the policies that we're advocating, the kinds of decisions that we're making for a community of almost a half a million, those are silly numbers. I just think that people are, that's not a vote of no confidence on the council. That's something that's been happening for 2.5 decades. And if you want to talk about votes of confidence, look to when in the last 3 years we've asked the taxpayers to increase the sales tax on themselves for public safety, for roads, for the zoo, the property tax for the parks and connectivity. Those are things that the voters voted down immediately coming out of the recession, and they had voted down for the county. When the county had their bond package on, what was it, 3 years ago, and it had something like 99 different ornaments on that Christmas tree. So I think the city council is doing well, and I think that those votes validate the fact that the voters agree with that. Had they not, Rahina might have had a tougher time, and she won pretty handily moving over to Jonathan's seat.
All right, let's see if I can get a little news in here. Not that this isn't news, but we're kind of recapping the yesterday's news. How about some of these intersections, Steve Kasacek? People are very worried about. We've had a rash of these pedestrian accidents and deaths. Are you in favor of dropping the speed limit in parts of town to try and lower the overall number of accidents?
I have advocated with the Department of Transportation for the last 5 years that we find a way to reduce speed limits across the board. Now, not on some of our major arterials, but certainly on residential streets, certainly on our collector streets. The problem that we have with that is that, again, the state law preempts us unless we can show a special condition in a particular roadway segment. And so I've been able to do that, for instance, on bike boulevards. We lowered them by 5 miles per hour. The special condition we were able to show the state was there are more bikes. It's a bike boulevard. We were able to drop speed limits on Columbus between Broadway and Grant. They ranged from 25 to 35 to 40, and we got a consistent speed limit. The special condition was we were able to show residential schools and churches along that segment. But we can't just go in, per state law, and say the city of Tucson is going to drop speed limits by 5 miles per hour across the board. We're preempted by the state from doing that. I don't agree with that. I think that the local jurisdictions ought to have local control and local decision-making ability for things like that. It is a safety issue. The argument with our city attorney, not successfully so far, that the special condition we should point to is that the data are absolutely clear that as you drop speed limits, fatality rates and the severity of injuries decreases. Haven't been successful in that, but yes, I would completely support dropping speed limits as a safety measure.
So these speed limits you see in towns around Arizona, this is designated by the state?
Yep, state law says that there's a manual that indicates what general conformity with state law means. And so in residential areas, it's 25 or whatever it is, or 30 in some collector, 35. And so we can't go in and simply say we're dropping our speed limits. City of Tucson can't, Yuma can't, Phoenix can't, unless you can demonstrate a special condition that justifies that reduction in speed.
Hmm.
And I would argue that safety is a special consideration.
I would think so, especially if you've had an area that's had a lot of accidents. You would think that would be a pretty good case, but I guess it has to be on a case-by-case basis.
It is, and something that we have been successful and that we do have more unilateral authority in, and it's something I'm working with the TDOT on, is these protected left-hand turns. Protected left is when you can only make the left when you have the green arrow,
right?
Not a flashing yellow. I'm just working with our TPD folks, the traffic safety folks, and they've identified the 10 intersections around town where we have had the most significant number of crashes, and they are almost always left-hand turn crashes. And so I'm working again with TDOT to try and get these protected lefts installed. They're one of the problems is that they're expensive. You have to invest quite a bit of money in infrastructure, but it's saving lives.
All right, Steve Kasacek, thank you very much. Pleasure.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Steve Kasacek with us for his monthly visit to Buckmaster. It's 10:30, The Voice, trusted source for local news and talk. And, of course, we're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Ray Allen, thanks, Ray. Nice job on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing. Dave Ramsey, I've become a huge fan of his show. Dave Ramsey comes up right after Buckmaster, so it's always a pleasure to get in the car and listen to the Dave Ramsey Show. That's coming up next. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening, and tomorrow back at it again at 12:04. Have a good one.